Previously on Compassion Radio.
And so now she sees her new husband bleeding to death on the floor on this day that was supposed to be a wonderful moving into our new house day. Everything has shifted for the worse.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the back streets of Baghdad to your own backyard, you've tuned to the daily radio ministry journal we call Compassion Radio. Thank you for listening, and do keep in mind that all of our shows are available to you via podcast from our website at CompassionRadio.com. Just click broadcast at the top of the page. Now, today, we're smack in the middle of a mesmerizing testimony from a gentleman named Jason Black, and I'm afraid we left you and left his story in a bit of a cliffhanger status yesterday. So let's get back into the discussion once again that took place over waffles and hot coffee at a popular diner on the outskirts of Austin, Texas. We pick it up with Bram listening to Jason recount a harrowing accident that he had moving a large piece of glass, an accident that almost cost him his very life.
I knew literally as my lifeblood was flowing out of me, I had precious moments to do what needed doing. And so I thought to myself, how can I effectively organize this in a way that I will live? My wife knows that I am not dramatic, ironically.
And for all so that time on the stage.
I thought to myself, what is the most efficient manner I can express the severity of the situation, the gravity of what's really going on right now? And so I turned to her and I said, baby, this is bad. Now, she knew that I wouldn't have said that unless it were catastrophically bad.
And if the blood wasn't speaking for itself already,
well,
your words were.
You have to remember, she was in the first accident and listened to me getting cut out with the jaws of life for 20 minutes screaming for my life. So she's already at this point got substantial PTSD issues. And so now she sees her new husband bleeding to death on the floor on this day that was supposed to be a wonderful moving into our new house day. Everything has shifted for the worse. I mean, she has already seen me through this, how could this possibly happen circumstance? And we've already lived through it. So karmically, we should be paid up.
You would think.
We already had.
Your account with the universe is paid in full.
One would hope. And
but that's not how God works.
And yet, here we are again. So I expressed that to her in those three words. Baby, it's bad. And then I asked her to dial 911.
I would say that from what you describe of your injury, that the miracle itself was that God gave you enough voice to say those very words.
Exactly. And we could get into all kinds of variations on a theme of when did I have a voice and when did I not. Mm. But in those moments, I was able to tell the three people there, my wife and the two people who were supposed to have been moving that glass table, what to do. So I told one gentleman to grab something and hold my neck shut. And so he grabbed the only thing that was left in the place, and that's a dirty U-Haul moving blanket, and held it up against inside my neck, essentially. And then I had the other gentleman, who's a really big guy, hold me upside down against the wall, holding my heels against the wall so that what blood I did have would stay flowing to my brain and I'd be able to stay conscious. One of the many miracles in that day was the fact that I didn't go into shock. So as we went through all of these very quick action shifts, I came to a place where, all right, now I've done all the pragmatic things that need to be done on a physical level. But the odds of me dying in the next minute are immense. I should probably get my eternal account settled. I'm a pragmatic man.
You have a plan.
I'm a pragmatic man. How can I, what now needs to happen? Yeah. And so, being brought up in the church, I understand my eternal soul is essentially at the mercy and grace of my Creator God. And I understand that left to my own devices, I'm a broken sinner and cannot bring my imperfection before a perfect God without grace.
we finally reached the wall.
One would hope. And so, again, less emotional, more pragmatic, I thought to myself, okay, what needs to happen right now to make sure that that's settled properly? And in milliseconds, as your mind flashes through a myriad of solutions, I said, okay, well, what would, I need to pray. I should definitely pray right now. What does one pray when you have perhaps two breaths left? And my pastor's kid spoke up from my childhood and said, well, what better prayer than the Lord's Prayer? He said, when you pray, pray like this. Well, I'll just pray the Lord's Prayer. And literally, I could not remember the Lord's Prayer to save my life.
And that's not just a turn of phrase there.
Literally. I actually mean literally when I say literally, unlike most. I don't use it as an exaggerative term.
And why would you think that those words would not flow through your lips or through your brain at that moment?
You know what? I've wondered that. Because, I mean, as my father's a Southern Baptist pastor, my mother's a Methodist minister, my father-in-law's an Assemblies of God pastor, I do not lack in dogmatic experience, nor do I lack in repetition of those phrases. I know the Lord's Prayer backwards, except in that moment. And I think that was one of the most significant steps that I had to take in releasing me being in charge and embracing the fact that I have no control over anything but myself. And now even that, I lack control over.
It seems to me, Jason, that God's mercy to us sometimes comes in his ability to cover us when he knows we're about to lie. And prevent us from blaspheming him. You've looked for a lot of solutions and systems and ways of getting through it by your own strength, your own wisdom, your own knowledge.
Stubbornness, yeah.
Perhaps he was being merciful to you and not allowing you to speak words that were vain.
Perhaps so.
Because he's not going to let his word return void. He wants honest souls praying those prayers back to him. So it seemed to me that you learned the hard way. There's no way to put it for me. You learned the hard way how to be honest with God.
In that moment, I literally went from thinking to myself, this is the right plan, and therefore 1 + 1 = 2. So this is going to get me where I need to be. Into, I can't think of the second number. Something equals two.
And God's about to multiply with zero.
Yeah. And so I needed in that moment, and I recall the moment, I needed to just trust that he knew my heart. And he knew that I wanted to love him right. He knew that I wanted to be who he'd made me to be, even though I have failed miserably, repeatedly. But he knew me.
Is that when you discovered that you knew you too?
Yes, and sadly, I think it's James that talks about people that look in the mirror and as soon as they look away, forget what their own face looks like. And I think that's tragically the human condition when we bother to be honest with ourselves. When we take the time to only look at ourselves as opposed to what somebody else could or should have, just what we have been able to actuate in our own lives. I think if we're honest with ourselves, that's any one of us on any given day. And the key here is trying to make that remembrance of who he's created us to be last just another second longer when you look away from the mirror this time.
You were given that second. And then that moment grew into other moments. Completely unexpected even to you at that point. And without belaboring the restoration that he gave you this time, he brought you back from beyond the fail, from beyond certain death, and restored to you your life. You still bear the scars, literally.
Yes, sir.
Of the adventure that he allowed your soul to go through. And your body has been the stage upon which all this this grand tragedy and comedy is laid out. And you sit before me now, not just with a speaking voice and a brain that functions, but with a beautiful singing voice that he's still using. And he's put you in places you were not expecting to go, on stage in front of some of the world's great influencers, to tell them the truth. Tell me about your life now.
Well, first, and I don't know that we covered this, I awoke to be told by the best hospital in the world, being semi-decapitated, both jugular veins severed, bleeding out on the floor, I should have let out in about 45 seconds. 45 minutes later, I still had what they call audible bleeding. You're bleeding so badly, it can be heard as it's being pumped out of your body, and they still wouldn't operate on me because they were that sure I was going to die. They wanted to wait until my wife came to say goodbye to me before they would operate. I awoke to be told by the best hospital in the world, we've never seen anybody suffer anything to the extent of what you have, much less survive. You should be grateful to be alive. By the way, you're never going to whisper, much less speak or sing again. Now, I don't know if you were listening in the beginning. I'm trained in two equally useless degrees, vocal performance and theater, both of which I'm trained in two equally useless degrees, vocal performance and theater, both of which require
a voice.
And so I awoke to be told, you should be lucky to be alive. You should be grateful to be alive.
But you
may
no
as well
life.
Be dead. You may as well be dead.
To what your expectations were.
Yes. And I spent 6 months where literally every day I awoke was eternity, because I had no reason other than God to believe any other possibility existed than a lifetime of silence.
Such a compelling firsthand testimony from today's special guest, Jason Black, on Compassion Radio. And we'll get right back to the discussion after this brief word from Bram Floria about how God is moving this ministry forward in 2017.
Friends, as you hear this, Sandy and I are on a mission of discovery to Eastern Europe. So please be praying for us that we'll see and hear everything that God wants us to in the first 2 weeks of May. I know that a whole lot has changed in the 30 years since I last traveled there. And it's not just the unparalleled freedoms people now enjoy in these former Soviet republics. We've heard about and are determined to see for ourselves the unprecedented outpouring of revival on the youth of Eastern Europe. The Word of God is making inroads in all facets of society and is causing a great awakening. As we meet new friends, we'll be reminding them about you, our Compassion Radio partners who are praying for them in their new spiritual springtime. So please, don't let us down. Do be praying for God's work in Eastern Europe. And thank you again for how you give to make the name of the Lord known in all the corners of the globe. We know you have 1,000 places where you can give each month, and that you choose us humbles us. We're very grateful. We continue to make progress on funding each of our vitally important projects and to bring you important stories of breathtaking scope because you make it possible. I can't say this enough. Compassion Radio does what no one else does, and we help those who take the Great Commission seriously. So I'm going to ask you again with all sincerity, would you join us? If you never have, now is the day to do it. Jim Governale will tell you how you can get started right away and help us to remain on the air as your radio voice for global mission. Thank you so much.
And for those of you who are ready to join our vision team with a simple commitment to an ongoing monthly gift of $25 or more, we still have some copies left of Selah's brand new musical release, Unbreakable, that we'd be delighted to send you as a way to say thank you. Reach us by phone by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or online at CompassionRadio.com. And we'll be sure to repeat this information at the end of the broadcast. Let's get back now to the interview.
I spent 6 months where literally every day I awoke was eternity, because I had no reason other than God to believe any other possibility existed than a lifetime of silence. And so the fact that I can whisper, much less speak, much less sing, is just another one of God's great testaments to his grace and glory and his victory. So I would pray that each of the people listening would look at their own circumstance and hear, A, how unworthy I am, and B, how little that matters to our Father God wanting to deliver us. I have, by the grace of God, hundreds of thousands, and between that and other circumstances, like my little six-year-old boy getting bitten by a Western Diamondback rattlesnake, or many countless other situations. God has paid off, give or take, $1 million in medical bills. So if your circumstance is an impossible financial hurdle, take strength from this story. If you're talking about impossible relationships that you don't deserve, hey, that's me to a T. There are countless people that stood with me through this that, quote unquote, should not have and yet did because of their character, not mine. And I'm still married to that beautiful bride 17 years now. I was upside down in a mortgage for obvious reasons. There are countless people that struggle with that to this day. Yeah. And yet, by the grace of God, a decade later, I still owned not only the townhouse I was moving out of, but the new LA-sized mortgage house I was moving into. By the grace of God, I still owned both. The medical situation is so overwhelmingly negative that, you know, whoever's listening to this and has stage 4 cancer, or my boy has leukemia, or fill in the blank of whatever death sentence that has been spoken over you. There are facts, and those may be facts. And then there's the truth. And the truth, with a capital T, is whatever Jesus says over your life, is whatever the living word says you are. And it says, by his stripes, I have been healed. It says, he is my redeemer, my restorer, my healer, my counselor, my comforter, my strength, my shield. He is everything and all things that we need. And those circumstances are nothing more than another opportunity to recognize the truth versus your facts.
And it's a progressive, ongoing kind of healing. I think about God being healer. It's basically saying that God goes about his work healingly. He doesn't want that to stop. He doesn't want the chapter to be over. He wants it to continue forward and redeem the entire world through the kind of people that he's healing. And so I know that you see your life as an ongoing wave of God's grace moving forward. He may retire some debts. He may not. He may stretch out other things. But at any rate, he's made you wealthy in ways beyond imagining. Amen. Because of his grace and how the way he's poured his bucket of blessing onto you.
Yes.
You are wealthy in friends like you've never been before.
Absolutely.
I think about how many times that God has lowered you down through the roof tiles to sit in front of Jesus and your family, too. You've got great friends that are willing to hold the ropes for you.
He exalts the humble and he brings low the proud. It says that he is no respecter of persons, which is why I hope whoever's listening to this can take this on for them. You've already heard, I am a remarkably bad person, left to my own devices. And yet, look what God would do in my life. Why would you not be able to expect that and countless more for yourself and your family? And it says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is ever, ever ready to be that loving father welcoming you back with open arms as the prodigal. Just back into your proper place. It says, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look to Jesus, stand with him, stand in him, and allow his grace to be what pulls you forward to the next, not just for yourself, but so that your testimony can inspire the next and the next and the next to their own influence that will spread throughout this world.
You're talking to an audience of activists here, Jason. People that God is turning on the fire of devotion and commitment to follow him. We hear about that every day through the letters and emails we receive. And I know our time with you is now short. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple over the people that are listening today as we wrap up this conversation. Just pray over them. There's probably people that need to experience or enter into the faith you've talked about today. Could you pray for us?
Lord, there was countless examples where you've shown that faith is the key. The man who came and said, please heal my child. And he said, What do you mean if this can happen? All things are possible for those who believe. Lord, he screamed, help my unbelief. Help us in our unbelief at whatever grade it's at. And you know our hearts. And it says that you are the one that gives us our faith. The word says that it's impossible to please God without faith. Help us to have more faith. Help us with our unbelief.
Yes, Lord.
God, Revelations 12:11 says they overcame him, meaning Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. And everybody wants to stop right there.
And the word of their testimony.
But the rest is, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let everyone hearing this recognize that their testimony is no less marvelous than mine, that their story is no more tragic than mine, that their problems are no less solvable than what's been shown in my own life and far beyond. Lord, strengthen them, encourage them, bring the right people alongside them, and Lord, empower them with the Holy Spirit that you have promised will walk alongside us after we come under the blood of the precious Lamb, bringing us into perfect grace and restoring us to relationship with our perfect Father God, who loves us better than we can know. You are faithful, you are true, and we trust you with our lives now and eternally. Amen.
Amen. I hope we've been inspired by Jason Black. We have links to his work, his ministry on our website. Go check out the podcast today, friends. Learn more about his life. I hope you've been encouraged by it. Jason, thank you for sharing your life and your heart with us on Compassion Radio.
Be encouraged and strengthened by seeing these stories and countless others at Jason Black Live, J-A-S-O-N, Black like the color, L-I-V-E.com. God bless you all.
Thank you, Jason.
And our thanks again to Jason for sharing his amazing story on today's Compassion Radio. Check out the podcast online or share the story with a friend. Just click on CompassionRadio.com. Much more in just a moment. But first, this from Jason Black.
Where are you going? Please don't walk away. Those were the last words I heard you say. When I left you, I was wrong. Now I really need you. I know where I belong. I know.
Friends, this is Cher Nelson here today with some info on our May project. You know, in India today, Christianity has grown by millions in the past 20 years, but for all the good preaching and brave missionaries, in many places something is still holding them back from planting healthy, growing churches. And that's not a political thing or a religious opposition. It's something much more simple, a lack of quality Bibles. For years, we've reminded you, our partners, that it's estimated that every Bible sent to mission hotspots ends up bringing 5 new believers into the kingdom because it's shared with other people. And guess what those 5 new believers need in order to flourish in their new faith? You guessed it, their own Bible. So until the whole world has heard, there will always be a shortage and a need for more Bibles. And that, my friends, is good news. Why? Because we can do something about it. Where it rains Bibles, the church grows, and it grows fast. And this month's project partner is doing something about it in an extremely cost-effective, Great Commission advancing way. And that's why we're so excited to have teamed up with an amazing organization called Bibles for the World. With your compassion and help this month, we will join with Bibles for the World in their Great Commission mission to bring the word to more villages and language groups than have ever had or held their own Bibles before.
Each bundle of 50 Gospels of John can be printed, delivered, and distributed for only $25. And full Bibles can be placed in believers' hands for $6 a copy. How many would you like to send to these precious souls? For your gift of any size, we'll send you 5 meaningful minutes for dads. This small book packs inspiration, biblical guidance, and prayer starters into 5-minute devotions for dads. And by the way, we still have copies of the 5 meaningful minutes for moms booklet as well, for a gift of $15 or more. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our website is easy to access at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll catch you again next time with more Compassion Radio.